Well,
let me call Stefan and have a general discussion on this point. You wanted to say something?
One adopts the second prescription that you gave, in which a certain fraction of the gas is converted into stars within an orbital period. Then one would run into the conclusion that the central regions of galaxies would be diluted. Basically, all the gas would be converted into stars in the central part because the dynamical time is much, much shorter than the age of the universe there. And so you run through many cycles of stuff, and eventually. Now, is this supported by the gas distribution in galaxies?
It's not as big a problem as you would think, because the gas profiles themselves are roughly 1 over R. And so, I think the answer to the question was given by Ruloff this morning, that he adopted. Remember that both of those recipes were based on the same data, so it doesn't matter whether you use a Schlemmer 1.4 or this dynamical recipe, but in fact, that recipe produces age gradients of stars that are within disks that are consistent with what's observed. I'm quoting you, and I believe that is correct. In the case of the Schmidt law, it's such a moderate, it's a mild relationship. There's not that, it's 1.4. So the efficiency is only going as gas density to the 0.4. And so you don't have a problem. As far as exhausting the center, I just want to say there are many, many early type galaxies are devoid of hydrogen in the centers. It's happened. So, and finally, the other thing, though, to keep in mind is once you get the recipe only works till the threshold, above the threshold. If you get cube 1, then it's going to be a lot harder to get rid of the rest. Yeah.
I mean, because certainly one might naively expect that that would change quite a bit from galaxy to galaxy, depending on the metallicity and the clumpiness of the ISM, et cetera. And yet, when you make these plots, they're fairly nice correlations with sigma gas has a big contribution from CO. So I'm wondering, is there a big dynamic range in the metallicity of the objects that actually go into that plot or anything else?
A lot of controversy. Most of my sample are spirals, so we don't deal with the problem of irregulars yet, simply because we don't have the data for those. I think for various reasons, atomic hydrogen in those objects usually makes up at least half of the total interstellar mass, even if you adopted an outrageously large CO conversion. So you will bias things at the 0.3 dex level in this plot, but not much. But they're anyway. I think it's the biggest problem is in these ultra-luminous objects where the CO probably overestimates the hydrogen. People have argued this back and forth. I'm a spectator in the debate. But I've adopted, I think, a factor of 3 plus or minus. I don't have the right plot here, but I think sort of we attach one-sided error bars, maybe up to a factor of 3 in these. Again, if you would take either of these sets of data and shift them one way or the other, you could also argue that this infrared calibration star formation rate's off by factor 3. A shift in any X or Y axis changes the index by 0.1, and that's it. You've got so much dynamic range in the plot that basically you're right. I think those things have to be straightened out, but it won't change the bottom line here. It'll just shift the slope around.
Of course, when converting observables into solid masses per year, you have to adopt an IMA. And which one is adopted here?
I'll let you answer that. He wants to know what I did. Saltpeter, which is gives you about the same as if you roll over a.
Saltpeter is only made 0.1 solid mass.
That's okay for these things, right? The saltpeter to 0.1. If you'd rather take a Miller scale, the most scaleless favored current 3 IMF, which is essentially the old Miller scale of from 0.07 to 1, about 2 or something above, you get these answers within 15-20%, something like that.
question, hard question. The easy question is, why do you two guys exchange thoughts? I couldn't see why you needed that.
The theory was that you might believe these star formation rates a little more if you had heard him talk first. But coming from him...
Now, the hard question is, I wanted to ask you about the scatter in this power law. Because, I mean, the plot you just showed, right? Because you have so many orders of magnitude, at a given surface density of gas, the star formation rate can change by a factor of 100, certainly a factor of 10. Now, was that, it's on the...
Especially down here.
Yeah, it's so does that scatter correlate with anything interesting?
Nothing I do is interesting. Much of this scatter, these are disk averaged quantities, and a lot of the scatter is due to the fact either that you are averaging nonlinear law over the entire disk, or in some of these cases, these are early type. Now, I'll show you the one plot that didn't make it to the view graph before. There we go. Right there. For those objects, these are the same objects. Morphological type is coded here. Open circles are, I think, SB. Triangle to say there is some tendency for earlier type galaxies to lie below, and I think that's the reason some of these disks are sub-threshold. You're actually seeing the effect of the threshold drag the averages down. I don't think it's a particularly interesting answer. If I would put a large set of inclined spirals in the data, they would scatter low due to extinction, but they were left out of the sample just for that reason, to try to minimize problems. No second parameter that I can call recall, crystallian recall anything you see. No.
Again, on the IMF, sometimes truncated IMF, either at the lower mass end or the upper mass end or at both ends, have been built to explain something. is there any direct evidence ever of anything like that?
I think Stefan should answer such a
question.
I think Rosemary addressed that this morning, that in fact, in the last 5 years, despite several programs carried out in HST, large telescopes, with the express view of looking for something anomalous, everything from 30 door to cores of globular clusters to the solar neighborhood, I believe almost all those observations are consistent with the same IMF, albeit sometimes over a limited mass range. If there are flies in the ointment, they may be ultra-luminous starburst galaxies. If you use a saltpeter IMF in these things you saw, you get extraordinarily high star formation rates, but I would argue ones that are plausible given the errors and the observations, cooling flow if you want, and adding fading. I think there are flies in the ointment at that level, but in terms of the populations observed locally, I don't think significant variation has been found. And in fact, no one would argue that there must be variations at some level, but I don't think the convincing case has been seen for anything systematic.
Do we all agree about this?
A question to Stefan. When you showed the correction for extinction based on the slope of the UV, which seems to work reasonably well, in fact, for some large redshift galaxies, do we have for infrared ultraluminous galaxies, the nearby ones, direct test of that? Have there been UV slope measurements which confirm that does work in infrared galaxies we see nearby for the case of strong extinction?
Sorry.
This one?
Yes.
Are most of these cases relatively aggressive, or are there nearby ones?
No, it's a sample of nearby ultraviolet stars. That's all nearby.
There is a study by Trentham et al. Of four nearby Eulers, which seem to imply that the correlation does not work for these galaxies. For very strong, very recent paper by Trentham, which shows that.
Where are they on this relation?
So that would be
Okay, so it will be higher there. Okay.
Above the top of the diagram.
I don't know exactly.
So it would be at beta zero. And
when you have a very fast
In this ratio, in the L dashed over. Okay, so you mean that there will be a huge dispersion?
I mean, yeah. Might we see. But I know the parameters in the models allow you to move on this diagram, and the fact that there are correlations, other things, you know, other constraints we use, constrained parameters, would be interesting to see. What model parameters are required to move it? I don't know, you have to show me the paper.
I am a little disappointed that you are unable at this point to distinguish the Schmidt law on the basis of other physical parameters that we think from the study of what causes stars to form are likely to be important. For example, your chart had rotation, shear, differential rotation measures, but also magnetic fields is another one. In the cosmology game, we don't pay any attention to magnetic fields, but people who form stars in the interstellar medium are obsessed with the role of magnetic field. How can there be no indicator in your data of these other parameters?
Yeah, these are not theories. They're descriptions of what is observed. There isn't much more dynamic range than what I've showed. I mean, I'm sure magnetic, remember that disks do self-regulate to, well, if you even accept this gravitational picture, they regulate to a quasi-stable configuration. Whether stars form here tomorrow or the other side of the galaxy tomorrow, clearly magnetic fields and density waves and what else has to do with compressing that local parcel of gas. I guess what we're arguing is that within this factor of a few spread, that on the global scales, simple relations today, redshift zero, seem to work plenty well enough. But yeah, I agree. It has to be more complicated. But within the scatter of these crummy data that we have right now, simple things work well. You know, isothermal gravitational models and simple Schmidt laws work well enough. Better, in fact, than some of the more complicated things. But is it, you know, when we get better data, surely these simple pictures will break down, and then we can do the second order, second parameter studies, and go to the next step.
Magnetic field, so to some degree it's included.
That's right, and there are scaling laws within all of these galaxies that are coupling a lot of parameters together. That's right, so is it clear what the causal relation is? You can't infer that just from simple power law correlations. I agree.
Okay, let's close the session and thank you for being here.